Welcome to Money Conversations with KJ. KJ is a lifelong entrepreneur who's made a lot of money, lost a lot of money, and found his way back again. If you're looking for a sterile how-to, you're in the wrong place. KJ and his guests will walk you through real-life situations told by the people who live them, and they are as messy as they are inspiring. Each episode will offer lessons learned, advice on how to replicate successes and avoid pitfalls, and a new perspective to power your financial literacy. Far from a one-size-fits-all, this podcast can help you build a roadmap to your personal promised land. Milk and honey for some, whiskey and steak for others, and remind you that you're not alone on this journey.
Well, hello everybody, welcome back to the show. Man, I'm really excited to have my guest on here today, because I've known this guy for so long. We were just talking a minute ago, I mean, it's 30 plus years. I don't even know the exact number, but it's been a while, because my guest, Mr. David Lyon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, KJ.
Yeah, I don't know, what do you think it is? It's I know it's 30 plus years.
Easy.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, my son is 30.
Yeah. So it would be well before. Yeah. That. Yeah. You didn't have him when I met you. So that's cool.
Around 30.
So that's a while back. And the reason I bring this up is because, you know, I have, you know, a lot of my guests that I know, right? But even though I've known you these 30 plus years, I don't know every detail about you because, you know, I maintain my friendships obviously a long time, right? And
right. And
so we don't see each other on a daily basis or weekly basis.
Right.
Yet I have mad respect for you, and I think you've done amazing things. And I believe I know your stories to a certain extent. And we're going to dig in a little deeper today and share with the people and see what we're going to do to be able to inspire them through your journey. Because I know your age is, I mean, you're just a year or so younger than me.
I think so, yeah.
Right. And you've done great things, but I know, like everybody else, have the ups and downs. And so I think it's going to be very relatable to the people out there. So let's get going.
Okay.
Well, you know, Dave, let me ask you this. This is always my intro question to almost all my audience there. You know, we're out here teaching financial literacy, teaching people about money, because money is the one thing that people struggle with and has a domino effect in your life. And so the question is, as far back as you can remember, when did you start realizing what money was for? How that we trade money for stuff? How old do you think you were when you realized that?
I was a spender, man. I wasn't a big saver. So when I had money, you know, I was living life. I always bought things. And
well, how old were you when you first made money? That you can remember. Well, I mean, we got to go back here.
Well, I worked with my father since I was 10 years old.
So at 10 years old, work with dad, he gave you a few bucks to do. Your dad was in the auto body industry. Yep. And so he would pay you guys, because you have brothers, right, and pay you a few bucks. And so when you made money, you're like, I want something.
Yeah. I mean,
whatever that was. At 10 years old, you probably want, and what would you want? Do you remember?
You know, you're running around spending money if you had enough to go to the mall or, you know, fast food or whatever, because you had your friends,
right?
You know, you're spending the money,
right?
And they loved hanging out with you because you always had it.
Well, let me ask you, as I ask most people, and this is the number one question, is like, how old were you when mom or dad sat you down and taught you about money?
I don't believe that ever happened.
Okay, so you're not alone in that boat, I can share with you.
Right.
That is the majority of people, right? And I think what happens is that because we never got sat down, right? Not just you. I mean, this is the majority of people out there, including myself, that when we're not sat down, when you're not taught something, then you try to figure it out, right?
That's
whatever it is in life. If we're not taught, right? Like when you go get a job and they say, hey, here's your job description. This is what I need you to do, X, Y, Z. And you learn your job, right?
Sure.
But if mom and dad don't sit us down and say, hey, guys, like dad, when he finally said, when you guys were 10, around 10 years old, and said, I want you to come work in the shop. I'm going to pay you dollar X, whatever it was.
Right.
He didn't go on and continue to say, well, here's what I want you to do with your money now. Now you're going to earn money.
No,
he didn't. So how, a minute ago you had mentioned, I'm a spender. Like, where do you think that came from? Why do you think you became a spender?
You know, honestly, kids in general will do what their parents do. I mean, they're just carbon copies of us. When we get frustrated, if we go and start drinking, when they get older, they'll be drinking. If they're more structured, the kids generally will be more structured. Dad was a spender, you know, we didn't, it was funny because he had the coolest cars you could ever imagine, but yet we lived in these little apartments.
Right.
It was pretty funny. So there was no structure as far as, hey, save your money. And my brother, he saved money. He was the funny guy. He was the guy that he would save his money and he would go buy something really cool. And then of course we would use it, you know, which was not cool. But you know, when you're a kid, you just like,
whatever. So, and obviously you can't speak 100% for your brother, but so you're a spender, you're describing your brother as a saver. A we have mom more. And dad. Do you think mom was the saver? Do you think he got that from mom?
Mom didn't really work. I mean, she was more of in the house mostly, you know,
right.
Growing up.
Which is very common, right? Yeah. Especially our age, you know, right. When we grew up in the 70s, right? Yeah. It was, dad breadwinner, mom taking care of the kids in the house. You know, that was normal.
Yeah.
Not so much today's world, but, you know, you bring up an interesting fact that I talk about, which is we're carbon copies.
We are.
And because I you know, one of the things I ask people is like, hey, how old should you start teaching kids about money?
Oh,
and
good Lord.
Right. Yeah. Now, before we get in that answer, I ask that question because if we don't teach kids, you just prove the fact or you stated the fact that we mimic. And I think we mimic as humans our whole lives.
Right.
It doesn't matter that we mimic our parents' personalities and then we're a subchapter of them kind of thing. Yeah. But in life, right, people want to emulate or imitate people. Yeah. Right. And so consequently, so if your dad was the spender. Bing, bang, boom. Here comes Dave. Guess what?
Oh, yeah.
It's normal.
Yeah.
Dad makes money and spends money. I guess that's how you'd play the game.
That's exactly
is what you figured in your mind.
Yeah.
Unconsciously. Like you didn't on purpose think that.
No.
No, right? No. You just thought, hey.
What's our first thing? We don't want to be like our dad. We don't want to be, you know, we're going to be rebels. But those things are in our psyche almost. It's like, this is what we see. This is all we know. You know?
Right.
And, you know, our parents split up when we were young age, so it was always around dad.
Right. Well, let me ask. So that was at 10, you're making money, and automatically you just was like, I make money, I go spend money, right?
Yeah,
you just,
that's what I did.
So at what age do you think where you realize, maybe spending is not what just we're supposed to do with this money? Maybe we're supposed to do something else.
Well, I didn't really think about saving money. Like I taught my son to save money as I got older when I figured it out.
Right.
But, you know, because you hear about if you put money away every month, by the time you're 65, you'll have a, you know, box of money.
Right.
After compounds, blah, blah, blah. We didn't teach that. And we should have. I didn't know it. I had no clue. I tried to tell my son, you know, save your money, you know, so, you know, you can buy your homes or whatever it is you're going to have. I really didn't learn that till I was probably in my early 30s. I started thinking about money like, man.
You know, it's so interesting you say that, Dave, because I teach that lesson. You and I haven't talked about this before, right? And you are one of many of the people that have been on this podcast that tell me that exact thing. Same thing. Like I'm right around my 30s and you start reflecting, right? Because you went through your 20s, a 10 year and a little bit late teenage year. So you're about you've been spending money about 12, 15 years now. And by the time we're all the age 30, we look back and reflect because at 30, you probably don't, most of us don't have no money. And we're like, I can't keep going this direction.
Correct.
Right. And you're like, I got to start really taking money serious and what I'm going to actually do with it. So that's kind of what happened with you.
Correct. No, it was exactly what happened. And, when I started thinking about my first house and I started thinking I'm going to start saving money because I would like to start buying and flipping homes. And then I was in an accident. So I was down for 2 years and, you know, everything is just flat. Now my wife's working. She just had the baby. It was a struggle.
It was a tough time in your life.
It was a real tough time. And then when I did receive a sizable settlement, I started buying homes, you know, and flipping homes and renting homes. And it was lucrative. It was good.
Yeah.
It was a good time to do that. And I was starting to plan for my future. And I'd already been with my employer from 24 years old. That's what started kind of upsetting me. It's like, you know, 6-7 years, I haven't put any money away. I'm not doing anything. It's time to start thinking about that.
You know, again, there's, you know, I have listeners all over the world at this point, and there's people out there, let's say if there's somebody out there in that range, 28 to 32, and they're thinking about that right now, mm-hmm. right? And they're thinking to themselves, man, that's exactly what's going on with me right now.
Sure.
What kind of advice, good, solid advice, and not that you and I are financial advisors,
right?
I teach financial literacy. I want to teach people how to play the game.
Sure.
Recognize that there's a game being played, and you're playing the game whether you realize it or not. The minute you make dollar one,
right.
you're in the system and you're making money, right?
Right.
And we're all turning money. But is there some 30-year-old out there right now who's thinking those thoughts
right.
that you had? What would you tell him or her?
You can't be too afraid to invest. There's a lot of investments out there. Excuse me. But you want to be careful how much and what you do. Make sure you invest in yourself, that you're going to be in control of what you're doing. I would say if you're going to do an investment, be very involved. Don't just put your money with someone. Unless, of course, you know, it's a sure thing. But what's a sure thing?
No
magic
thing.
Pills out there. Because I've done that. You know, I've taken several $1,000 and put it in a business that the guy was very successful, and it just bombed. And I just, and you know, I knew it was a risk, but I really didn't think it was a risk because the guy had a really good track record. So I would say, be careful how you invest. Invest in yourself and be more in control of what you're doing with your money.
That's really good advice, guys, that you're out there. And if you're in this, and really, this is whatever age. You could be 20, you could be 50. It doesn't matter.
That's correct.
Understand investing always has a risk at some level. And,
sure.
And what we want to do is minimize risk, right? When we invest, we just want to minimize risk. We mm-hmm. want an ROI. And there's a lot of people out there that are just great salespeople, and they'll sell you on something to lead you to believe, like, listen, bro, just $5,000 is going to get you a return of 100 in like 12 months. And you're like, and that yeah. old phrase is, if it's too good to sound to be true, it probably is, right? That's really cool. What, do you remember how old you were when you got your first credit card?
Yeah, I was, I believe 20 years old.
20?
Yeah.
And
I had a Mervyn's credit card.
Oh, okay. So you got a store credit card.
I had a store credit card. And then, well, I had my debit card too. So I felt like I was moving up a little.
You were moving up a little. How did that affect your spending habits?
Oh, considerably. I watched what was going in and what was coming out. I didn't bounce checks because I'd never bought anything that I didn't have money for. You know, I never. You know.
So you didn't get yourself into any kind of debt that spun out of control or anything?
Well, sure. I mean, when I got silly, I mean, I was using my credit cards the wrong way for sure.
Let's talk about that because, you know, most people have credit cards. And I hear the term out there, and I don't really like this term, but I hear it. It's out there. Credit cards are bad. You've heard that, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're bad.
So here's my rebuttal to that statement. Credit cards are bad. First of all, credit card's a piece of plastic. So how is it bad, right? Mm. Now, the way you use a credit card, there's people out there that use them very irresponsibly.
Yeah.
Those people, you could classify them as using credit cards badly, right?
Yeah.
But the credit card itself is not bad. But that phrase has been around so long that people have a fear of having credit cards. Now, if you follow someone like a Dave Ramsey, who 100% is against credit cards.
Right.
Now, I say, if you're responsible and you learn how to leverage, because in life, we leverage all kinds of things. We leverage people. We leverage money. We leverage time. We can leverage everything, right?
Yeah.
And a credit card is just a way to leverage. But
sure.
And if you once you learn how to do it responsibly and correctly, it's a great tool.
It is. David Ramsey is he's very old school when it comes to the way he does things. I understand what he's saying,
right?
Because even when I was being responsible, then I did fall off track, you know, and I did have debt into my, mid 20s. Credit cards can be rough. If you can't handle it, maybe you should be afraid of them.
Well, again, right. It's all about, I was watching this Jim Rohn video yesterday about discipline, self-discipline. And I think self-discipline comes in our lives on many different levels.
Oh, sure.
But for as far as credit cards, here's where you need that self-discipline. Like you get a credit card with a $2,500, you know, balance that you can use. That doesn't mean someone just handed you $2,500 and go on a spending spree. Yeah, that means like
you got to pay that back.
And if you can't pay it back at the end of the month, don't spend it.
Correct.
Now, I understand in today's world, emergencies happen and you may go over that. But that's but now you're leveraging because you had an emergency. My transmission went out on my vehicle. It's $2,000. I'm like, holy crap, I ain't got $2,000.
Right.
But I need my car to go to work.
Right.
I better put on my credit card and hope I'm going to shoot to pay that thing off in the next 4 or 6 months, whatever.
Right.
Right. There, to me, that's using it responsibly.
Yeah. One thing I learned when I was younger, I had a couple of mentors, people that I trusted. And unfortunately, it wasn't, you know, my dad because he wasn't big on the money structure. But someone told me, you know, you should have 3 months of rent in the bank saved in case something happens. I thought that was pretty smart. You know,
great advice.
The same thing, the same person said, if you're gonna have a credit card, be able to pay that whole credit card off in a month, almost like a American Express. They want you, you know, if you can pay it off in the month, that's really the way to go. In the real world, it's tough, you know, and you can get caught up. And I did get caught up, especially when I had the accident. I had put money aside into a company that paid me $500 a month. Should something happen, I wasn't even thinking about it. I just said, all right, yeah, I'll do this. And then I got in the accident. I'm like, thank God I did that. Had I been really thinking about it, I would have put more into it because it was minimal.
Right. I want to step back here because you said something a minute ago, and I've had this conversation, and probably this is what I call a pivot point in your life, that you had a couple of mentors, and I share with people, like, if mom and dad aren't teaching you whatever, that's not good or bad. It's just what is. And we don't, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Don't get mad at mom or dad for not teaching you something. And then you come across someone that's willing to be your mentor and teach you some things like you just described. He described for you to be what's called financially secure. Uh-huh. You need to have at least 3 months of your bills put away. Uh-huh. Last year, 2020 is a great example. COVID hit the whole planet and put people in financial situations, not by of their own fault.
Right.
Right. This was not by anybody's fault that, hey, everything's shut down. Can't go to work. Can't make money.
Right.
And I know right now, statistically, 74% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck.
Absolutely.
Now, for people like that, was that like, holy crap, what do I do?
Exactly.
How do I feed the family?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of people took advantage of it as well.
People always will take advantage. But let's go back to this mentor thing. So you said you had a couple. How old were you when you think you got your first one?
No, probably 16, 17.
How did that happen?
Yeah, my dad was dating someone.
Okay.
We were talking. Yeah, I've been on my own since I was 15 and a half, 16. So that was one of the conversations, you know, because she worried about me. She said, what are you going to, you know, and I was born with my hair on fire. So I was always moving.
Right.
I worked with you when I was a kid.
Yep.
We worked together. I was always making money. I was never lazy. I have to make money. I've never been one to reach for the brass ring. But at the same time, she was more worried, like, you know, you really need to do this because I know you're going to be doing this on your own. And I thought that was pretty smart. So I was about 15, 16 years old.
That's really cool. So there's someone who obviously cared about you to be able to, and probably at the time, did you realize at the time that you were being mentored, or did you just like, hey, I know this person and they're just giving me some advice?
I didn't even think mentor. I mean, I had mentors. My football coach was my mentor. My, you know, she wasn't a mentor. She was just giving me some sound advice.
Right.
I think she saw something in me that she was worried, and she goes, hey, you know, just food for thought. You know, you want to do these things because you don't want to find yourself in a position. And I accepted it. I wasn't one of those guys that was like, you know, I don't want to hear it.
See, no. I love that you said that you accepted it, because I think people who care about other people want to give advice.
Right.
And to me, a mentor, someone that will be kind of ongoing, right? You're going to speak with this person for a period of time. It could be one year, it could be 5 years, whatever it may be.
Right.
I mean, a one-off piece of advice, even though that was great advice,
was great
advice. Because you held heed to it, right? You took that advice, right? And I think for you guys listening, sometimes when people are trying to share something because they you know, like you, love you, and want to see you not go down a wrong direction,
right?
We have to listen.
Sure.
We have to listen.
I'm sorry, even if you don't have a mentor, you know, by all means, ask questions, get some advice, and weigh it out. You know, get into a little research. But if you don't have a mentor, just start asking questions. Start watching podcasts. Start checking out things and going, would that apply?
Exactly. Exactly. But you and I grew up in a different era. Today, it's much easier for people jump on the internet and start surfing and finding out all kinds of information versus you and I. Mm-hmm. We literally, someone had to tell us whatever, right? Oh, yeah. So your second mentor, which I hear a lot, which would be a sports figure, like you're mm-hmm. playing sports when you're younger. Right. My question is, because I want to make sure that people understand that mentors, most times you're asking somebody to be your mentor. Sometimes they'll just take the role.
Sure.
But most times if you find yourself a little lost in life, so to speak, like, mm-hmm. I'm not quite getting it, this or that, whatever it may be. And you see someone who's super successful in whatever area that you want to go down.
Right.
And don't be afraid to ask. I say, don't be afraid to ask people, hey, listen, can you mentor me? I want to get to where you're at. I don't know how you got there. Can you help me out? Mentor me for a little bit. Now, in most cases, like, Dave, let me ask you this. If somebody asked you personally, just saw you, what you're doing, this and that, hey, Dave, man, I really like where you're at. You mentor me for, I don't know, a month, 2 months, 6 months?
Yeah, help you the best I can. I absolutely would.
Yeah. And my point is that most people will.
Yeah.
Right. So when you see somebody, when you see, because it's flattering.
Sure.
Well, it's an honor. Really, it's an honor. And it's flattering that you can help people. Right. So for you guys who are out there, in thinking, well, maybe they don't want to mentor me. Maybe I'm imposing. Maybe I'm stepping out of line. What do you think?
If they're point blank asked straight up, I mean, they should just not just be flattered, but be like, let me tell you what I know. And don't be afraid to tell this person some of the things you know. They're going to take it or not. But if they're asking you, by all means,
right?
Do it.
And don't be afraid. There are going to be people out there that say, you know what? I'd love to. I don't have the time.
Sure.
Cool.
Sure.
It's cool. I'm not hating on you say no to me.
Most people won't. Most people.
I don't think so either. I think most people will give you some level.
Anything, we'll get together or whatever. Sure.
Exactly. And I think how do you think this world would be if more people were like that?
Oh, my God. I mean, we're a fatherless nation in the first place. So people need mentors.
Yes.
And I don't mean to put women down. Women have some great advice. It was a woman who told me what to do, what I should do. People are searching. They need help.
That's why I'm here. That's why I do what I do now, right? This is why this podcast, because again, we just learned earlier that, hey, listen, it was a woman when you were around 15 that gave you your first, I would say, spark about really thinking about life.
Right. It was.
Right?
It really was.
And we never know. It happened to you at 15. It could happen not till you're 20 or 30 even, right? All these things are different timelines. Do you remember the first car you bought and how did you buy it? Because you were saying to me a minute ago that, hey, I'm a spender. Mm-hmm. But when you want, I call them big ticket items, things that you can't buy with just one single paycheck, right?
Right.
Like, because you said you're a spender, not a saver. But when you bought your first car, how much was it? And how did you manage to buy it?
It was a Trans Am. It was $3,000.
Which back then was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money, $3,000. And I needed a cosigner.
Oh.
So my dad cosigned. Which was really cool, and the payments were, what I thought were huge were probably $130 a month.
Right.
But I was very excited and I had that and I did really well. And then when dad left, he took my car. he didn't believe that I was going to get a job, to pay. And, his name was on it. So ended that. So that was my first car experience.
That was your first car. Well, for some of the people that are out there, my dad co-signed my first car. I co-signed a car for my son. Mm-hmm. That didn't go well. And so my only advice when you want to co-sign for someone, whether it's family or friends, believe that you just bought that item.
Absolutely.
And hopefully that person is responsible and takes care of it because, many a people of credit have been crashed because you trusted someone. And more importantly, they feel bad when they don't make that payment where it should be, listen, if you can't make the payment, you got to call me.
Exactly.
Because if you can, I have to.
Yeah.
Right. It's my credit's on the line.
Absolutely.
But people get embarrassed that like, oh, crap, man, I can't make that payment. If I call Dave and tell him I can't make that payment, he's going to be riding my butt.
Yes. I don't want to say anything.
I don't want to say anything.
I'd rather you say something.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think I personally wouldn't do it again for anybody. We all work way too hard to maintain a good credit score, and and it takes time to build them back up.
I didn't do that with my son. His mother and I, we went in together and bought him a vehicle.
Right.
And it was $10,000. So it was $5,000 each. And he had a nice truck. He didn't appreciate it. You know, beat the crap out of it. But I think if I had to do it over again, I would have him working and doing even his chores and things like that. Just put money away, because I'm not buying you a car. This is going to be for you to pick whatever and do whatever you're going to do. I'll take care of your college. I'll take care of your food. I'm buying your clothes, but you're going to buy your car. I should have done that. But you know, you learn things as you get older, and you're like, I kind of screwed that one up because he didn't appreciate it.
I think you're right. And I know there's parents listening out there, and there's different degrees of that. I know people, you and I both know people who go out there and buy their kids very expensive automobiles. And what they're doing is they think they're doing the right thing, and their kids, maybe because they deserve it or they earned it, whatever their reasons are. But at the end of the day, you're doing a big disservice.
You are.
Because you're not teaching your kid the number one thing that we all need to be in life, which is responsible
right.
for everything that we do.
Right.
And when something, a high ticket item, comes into your life by nothing that you did, like you said, your son didn't respect that truck and beat it up.
Yeah, he loved having it. His friends loved it. But he beat it up. And then, of course, I had to fix it.
Right, right.
So that when I started teaching him that, and then he blew the motor on it, I said, well, here, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you the truck I have now, but you're going to pay me for it. I'm going to take this truck back. And then I put a new motor and everything. And then he wanted it back. I'm like, no.
No, you can't have it back now.
You have this one now. This is not a beater, but it's a beater compared to this one.
Right.
Because this one's got a new motor. And he had to pay me. And he had to learn it. Man, that's playing hardball. You're finding out that this world's not giving you anything.
Exactly.
You're going to work for it.
I love that phrase. This world's not giving you anything. The world is ours. What is that? What is that line in Scarface?
Yeah.
The world is my oyster. Is that? No.
The world is mine. Yeah. The world is mine.
And it's out there for all of us, right? We just got to go out there and get after it get it. And you've done that your whole life. And, you know, it's funny. I remember your dad. Your dad was a little more on the strict level, wasn't he?
He was strict, I think, because we were just a pain in the butt for him. But, yeah, he was strict, a certain style of living. You're going to be a certain way and you're going to treat girls a certain way. Meanwhile, he was the opposite of everything.
Well, you know what?
Not to put him down. He didn't have any guidance either growing up, but he did the best he could.
Yeah. You know, I think we want more for our children than we have either had or done, right? We want our kids to excel better than what we did.
We do. And then I think a common problem is, here's a good example. I'm into sports memorabilia, and my son, he has everything. I mean, when it comes to, you know, helmets signed by the team and things that, you know, pretty big value, he doesn't care about any of it.
Mm.
See, I grew up with nothing. So when I get these things, I'm excited. I have this or I have that. I have spoiled him so much growing up that I'm like, Joe, what do you want to do with all this stuff? And he's like, just keep it, Dad. I don't want it. Because we had everything growing up. And
right.
It's like I spoiled him so much that he doesn't even know the value. You know, just Christmas, he came by and he's looking at the wall and he's like, what are those worth? I'm like, I don't know. They're yours. What are you going to do with them? You know, so he starts looking online. He goes, holy mackerel, those are expensive. I'm like,
hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, this is a big deal. So now he's starting to, and he's just turned 30. So now he's starting to think,
Well, let me ask you. So we talked about, and again, the majority of people, mom and dad didn't sit you down and teach you about money. Did you have a significant, you can remember conversation with your son at what age about money and what, how to handle it, what to do with it?
You know, we had one child and, that's where I screwed up. I mean, I did spoil him. I was strict. I was really strict. And when there was came time to make money, he wasn't very motivated. He knew he didn't have to be. I mean, like one of the worst things you can hear somebody go, you know, oh, my kids think I'm an ATM. I heard his name say this on one of his shows. And that's kind of sickening because I kind of was that guy.
You were him.
Yeah.
You were ATM
like,
dad.
Yeah. It's like, you're pathetic. I should have never done that. You want something? Let's work for it. And I didn't do that with Joe. And it wasn't until he started his own family. He's like, man, I got to work. And yeah.
Yeah.
I'll help you. I'll still send you to school. You want to go to another school? I'll help you that way.
Right.
But I'm not paying your mortgage.
Yeah. So again, to me, generationally, this has happened, right? For generations, mom and dad don't sit down. Most, I'm not saying all, because I believe the wealthy do it a different way. They send you to school to learn about money, because you're going to take over this wealthy family's business, or however wealthy dad made his, you know, multi-millions or whatever, right? They're going to make sure you learn how to do that. They're not going to hand it to you on a silver platter. And if we hear the stories of people like a Warren Buffett worth billions of dollars, and he flat out says, my kids get 1 million. That's it. Like, that's like a $10 bill for most of us, for him, right? That's it. You know, he had to learn how to figure it out and go out and do it. You got to figure it out. I'm going to give you a little boost.
Right.
But you got to go out there. I'm not just going to hand it to you.
That's interesting. I mean, when people hear that, they're like $1 million.
Right. And $1 million even today is a lot of money.
But it goes quick if you don't do it right. Quick.
Really gone. Quick.
Oh, yeah. My money went quick.
It goes way faster than any of us realize. $1 million is a lot of money. But first, the first slice goes to Uncle Sam, and he's taking 40% minimum. Yep. So all of a sudden, you're Dan. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal has a great story on that. Have you ever heard his story? His first million?
Bits and pieces, no.
So when he signed, right, as a kid, basically, into the NBA, his signing bonus check was $1 million. And he went out and bought himself a brand new Mercedes. And then he came home, and his dad said, man, that's an awesome, beautiful car. Dad said, where's mine? And Shaq goes, oh, crap, I'll be right back. And he goes back down to the store, right? And he buys his dad one.
Just throwing
it away. Dad's all happy, right? So then they both come home. Guess what mom said?
Where's mine?
And Shaquille's like, damn, you're right. I got to buy mom and dad their car.
Sure.
And he goes back down. The story goes, the next day or within a week, his manager calls him up and he says, so I don't know what you've done, but you have no money. He's like, what do you mean I got no money? I just got $1 million. He's like, yeah, no. You forgot. Uncle Sam gets paid first. Mm-hmm. You went down about three cars and you bought a bunch of whatever. Yeah. He goes, you're right now negative.
Yeah.
And he thought, for him, that was a big wake up call.
Yeah. He didn't know.
What are you talking about? I went through $1 million that fast. Mm-hmm. Right. Now that's extreme, obviously, but you could just move the decimal down.
Oh yeah.
A couple of notches, and dad's making $1,000 a week. And that goes fast.
Goes fast.
You got to pay the mortgage or the rent and the food and the gas and the insurance. Blah, 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 boom.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, we got $12 till next week. You've been there, right?
Been there.
Been there, done that.
Been less than 12.
Right? Yeah. And listen, and many people have. So let me ask you, have you been a goal setter in your life? Do you set goals on a regular basis?
Not on a regular, but yeah, I've set goals. I've set most throughout my life. I mean, that was a big deal. I think I got that one from my coach, but set goals and not just set the goals, but write down how you're going to achieve them.
I love that. So much.
Because you can set goals all day long. How are you going to do it? What are you going to do? What's your time frame?
What's your action plan?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you got to give yourself a little allowance, and you know, but it has to be structured, and it has to be attainable. Can't be something crazy. And just stick to it and do it. If it's something you're passionate about, should be no problem. But if it's not, you're like, I don't know. Maybe don't do that. But by all means, set goals.
Set goals. And the most important thing you said about setting goals, which is vital, and I'll give you a quick stat on it, is write them down.
You got to write them down.
Because if you don't write a goal down, it's not a goal. It's a dream.
Yeah,
it's a dream.
But a dream should be turned into a goal.
A dream, again, there's a sequence, right? Yeah. Things start out as a dream.
That's exactly right?
And then you're like, okay, that's not a dream anymore. I want to make it an actual goal.
Right.
And then we need to write them down. Well, Harvard did a study about this back in 79.
Really?
And they found, they did the 79 graduating class, how many of their students had goals, wrote their goals down. And they checked back with them 10 years later. And only 3% of the class had actually said, yeah, no, I have goals and I wrote them down already. And the rest of the class, they didn't.
Kept it a dream.
10 years later, do you know that 3% earned 10 times more money than the other 97% of the
kids?
Without
question.
because that's how important it is to write them down. Yeah. And then, like you said, then after that, there's not just write them down, but now you actually have a plan, an action yeah. plan. How do I reverse exactly. engineer how to get this goal?
Exactly.
And you can make, because you can make anything happen
right.
if you have a plan.
If you don't write it down, I mean, out of sight, out of mind for everything, just about, especially a goal or a dream.
So since you shared with me the normal timeline right around your 30s, where you're like, I got to start taking money more seriously. How old were you when you started thinking about retirement? Like, man, I can't work forever.
Oh, I was already thinking about it. I actually, right now, the company I work at now, I could have retired 2 years ago. I'm just not ready. I mean, yeah, well, I can double dip. I can go do something else. And I'm considering some
options. Let me rephrase that, because, again, yeah, we're at the age where we're retirement in your ages. What does retirement mean to you?
It's...
Like, because you put in enough time at a place that they'll retire you, meaning you're going to get a pension, right?
Yep.
You're going to get something. But what does retirement actually mean to you? Because I teach this in a class, and the word retirement, I think, has been programmed to us in a certain way. So when someone says to you, hey, you're like 5 years ago, they, hey, you're getting close to retirement. Like, what does that even mean?
Well, for me, it was never, I'm not the guy that sits on the couch. So for me to retire and go fishing and, you know, that sounds great and everything, but I'll get bored too fast. I got to stay mobile. I got to stay moving, and I don't want to get old and die. I mean, you hear that story way too many times. Mm-hmm. I think when I retire, I'm just going to jump into something else. I'm going to be making more money. I just want to keep moving. I want to be active. And
so it sounds like it's not about the money
for me. Yeah, for me, it's about staying busy, because the money is already there. I'll be fine. I mean, I pay all my bills, got everything going, but I want to be able to stay busy. What if I want that boat and I have this nest egg here? I can't buy that boat. You know, I gotta keep going. I gotta do other things. As long as I can walk, God's given me that strength, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep working.
Yeah, you're young and you're still healthy. You can get out there, like you said.
That's why I'm still there. I mean, people are asking me, why are you still here? I'm like, you know.
I can't find another place that I want to hang out on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, I do other things, you know, and, you know, I still make money on the side besides my job. But I want to find something I'm passionate about. I just haven't found. I got a couple things in the fire, but.
Nothing yet. It's funny because so retirement, I teach this because I believe people need to understand what it even means. Right. But I think we're so programmed to go to school, get good grades, get a job, work 40 years, save your money and then retire. But wait a minute, that program doesn't work for everybody. Right. No,
it does not.
And on many different levels. Now, some people will go out there and be excited. Hey, I'm retired. And like all you're telling me is like, you're telling me you're not trading time for money anymore, because that's what most people do. They trade time right. for money, right?
Right,
you've been at your job, what, over 30 years?
32.
So you traded time for money for 32 years for this mm-hmm. company, right? Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurs don't trade time for money. Nope. They trade value for money.
Right.
Right. And so when I talk about retirement, I'm like, it's the wrong goal to shoot for when you're 20 or 30 or whatever age. Like, man, mm-hmm. I want to retire at age whatever, right?
Sure.
I think and I teach that there's three things that we should strive for in life financially. And I think we'll take that word retirement right out of the equation. The first one is to be financially secure.
Sure.
Which you described earlier that a mentor taught you. Hey, sure. Put away at least 3 months of your rent.
Right.
Sound advice. So the definition of being financially secure is having 6 months of your monthly bills. Oh, now yeah. That number is different
that's
for everybody.
That's a great number. That's a good move.
Right. Yeah. Because and last year was, again, such a great example of people who got laid off. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just not by their fault. Wasn't their fault.
Right.
This whole thing happened to the whole planet. So once you get yourself in that position and you've been there, how much better did you feel sleep at night? Like, I'm not worried about the power bill.
I'm not.
Or none of those things, right? You just can live your life on such a different level.
Yeah, I've been doing that for 20 plus.
Right.
I don't worry about things like that. I don't. It's done.
But you know people do every day.
And I understand that, but they have to understand too. I'm still working, you know, and I have what I have because I'm working. I'm not, you know, now if something were to happen to me, I could not be at work and still have that money because I have the longevity and I've got all that. I'm trying not to get to that. I want to keep going.
Right. So that's the first pillar we all should strive for. Now, it's not easy to get there. I'm going to tell, for most people out there, they're thinking, that's easy to say. But, and I give an example in my training of $3,000 a month, right? That means you need $18,000 set aside in a bank, in an account that's accessible immediately, because that's what emergencies are. You need that's that exactly money right, right now, right. Not, oh, it's going to take a process to get it. I agree. $18,000 is a chunk of money, and it may take people. It could take you 6 months, 6 years, whatever it is. Slowly get there, because, as you just said, you're going to live your life on a whole different level.
Right.
Comfortable. The stress is gone.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. So the second tier that we need to strive for is financial independence, which means where you're at. When my money makes enough money to support my lifestyle,
right?
Which that's what your pension does. Mm-hmm. Your pension will support your lifestyle. Then you're officially financially independent. Like, I don't have to go trade time for money no more. If I don't want to, right?
That was my goal. Now, if I want to, great. If I don't, good.
Now the next, and it's not easy to get to that position, because there's not many people, not many places out there giving pensions anymore. It's like,
I didn't know that. Of course. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you've been in the school district. So yeah, the school districts do it. Not all government jobs, but most of them, right? If you want to work for the government. But sure. Anyway, the next pillar to be that you want to strive for is to have what's called financial freedom. And we've heard that term. And you described it unknowingly a minute ago. You want me to tell you how you did it?
Go ahead.
So you said, well, Kev, I don't have to trade time for money. My pension can cover everything. But what if I want that boat?
Exactly.
Right. And to have financial freedom means, yes, I'm past the financial independence date. I have enough money to go buy the boat,
right,
to take my family on a 3-week vacation to Europe if I want.
And I don't have that.
And that amount of money that it takes,
right,
doesn't affect me.
Right.
Like, no problem. Let's go. Let's do it.
Right.
Right. And very few people can reach that pinnacle, although it is very achievable.
Sure.
When you learn how to play this game correctly and invest, because you got through retirement because you got a pension.
Right.
Most people have to get to retirement by investing.
Right.
Because generally speaking, if there's no pension and you have to trade time for money and you don't invest your money, and next thing you know, and how fast, hey Dave, how fast did 50 come? Like,
oh boy.
Like, forget about it. Like, yeah. It seemed like 5 years.
Really fast.
It's.
I'll be 60 this year.
Right. So, I mean, yeah. I just turned 60 and, wow, and it's crazy, right? Because I know I was talking to somebody about this the other day. All right. Technically, yes, I'm 60 years old. But when I look out into the world, my mind is still of a 22 or 25 year old.
I feel you.
Right.
Yeah.
So forget the age thing.
Yeah.
And now the number one asset we have in our lives is time.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? We're in the fourth quarter now, bro.
Oh, no doubt.
We are in the fourth quarter of life.
Right.
So understanding compounding, it works. It's not in our favor.
No.
Because it works on time.
Right.
Right. I don't want to wait until I'm 90 before I can appreciate whatever.
No. But I work every day, but I still appreciate even my days off and my vacation time. I appreciate everything I do. I have a great time. My grandkids, I spend time with them. And it's like, if I were to die tomorrow, I'm cool. I'm all right. I'm happy. But yeah, I want that financial independence. I want to be able to, you know, throw everybody on a plane, go to Hawaii.
Right.
You know, I don't have that.
Right.
So yeah, that's definitely something I want to achieve.
That could be a goal.
Oh, it's a goal.
It's a goal. And then you just reverse engineer. How am I going to get there? What's it going to take?
And I already know what it's going
to
do. Yeah.
Like, right. Like I used to teach people. I teach people this for years, and I'm like, where do you want to do? I want to go to Italy. I'm like, awesome. How long do you want to go for? Man, 2 weeks in Italy would be great. I go, okay, well, have you broke it down? I'm like, well, what do you mean? That's what I want to do. I'm like, well, right now it's a dream,
mm-hmm,
but it's not a goal. And I go, so if you told me, oh, yeah, Kev, I already figured out. I know the airfare. I know the hotel I'm staying
there
at.
You go.
I know what I'm going to do for the 2 weeks that I'm there. And it's going to cost me, you know, $22,478.
Yep.
Like, excellent. You've done your homework now. Now your job is to, how long is it going to take me to put away $22,478?
My nephew did that.
Right?
He did it. He went to Italy.
And that's the way we should all do it. Right?
Right.
You want something in life. What's it going to do? What's it going to take to get there?
Exactly. Now we have another brother, and his son had a settlement, and he wanted to put 10,000 here, 10,000 here, 10,000 here. And his dad, my brother, said, why don't you put 5,000 here, 5,000 here, and another 5,000, take that Italy trip you've been wanting to do, and then invest these two to do this here. And he thought, that's a great idea. And he did it. And he spent the 2 weeks, 3 weeks in Italy, and he came back and he's doing well. You know, he's doing okay.
Right.
So That's good advice, I thought.
It can be good. Listen, we're on this planet for a certain amount of time. We want to enjoy ourselves for sure. It's not all about work, which is another word I don't like, because work has a negative condensation to it, right?
Yeah. I enjoy what I do, so I don't really call it work, but it's a job. It's my job.
Yeah, right.
But I enjoy what I do.
If you enjoy what I always enjoy, you know, I've controlled my time for over 30 years now.
Never work a day in your life if you love what you do.
Exactly. Or just, you know, enjoy life. Enjoy life. I agree that we should do that. If that settlement got me 50% of a bigger goal, I probably would have stayed home and said, what? I'm going to let that money grow a little more and I'm going to wait another year or two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's your mindset, which is great, but he didn't know that. He wasn't thinking that.
Well, he's not thinking that.
So that's why I like this show, because you can get all kinds of different insights.
We get different insights. So let me ask you, we've been talking about you. You have your son. Your son's how old now?
30.
Do you think you might go have a deeper conversation with him now?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
And so my final question here is, I like to ask everybody, you're almost 60. And if you could look back, because, you know, hindsight 2020, right? What would you tell or give your 21-year-old self advice? What would you tell you, we could time travel and like we see movies right? What would you tell 21-year-old Dave?
Realistically, because of who I was my whole life. And the one thing I could tell myself that I would have actually done would be put 100 away every month if you can. 100 a month, and just like you, it's not there.
Forget about it.
And I mean, forget it. And don't freaking touch it. Don't touch it.
Adds up.
That's the one thing, because I mean, I could say a lot of other things too. Hey, you know, and invest in yourself and follow your dreams and blah, blah, blah. But honestly, the guy that I was very Scrabble. I couldn't focus on one thing. I was always moving. I was in trouble a lot because I was, you know, just a wild kid. Not trouble like the law, but I was, for me, that would have been the only thing that made sense for me. Put money away, because look at, here's the goal. Here's the package when you're done. And you can do that. You can do that. I mean, but if I gave myself anything else, I probably wouldn't have done it.
So at the time, if you think back, would $100 when you were 21, was that like, would have been a real stretch to save, or like no big deal?
No, it would have been a big deal, but not that big of a deal. I mean, because I was making money. I was in body shops. I was.
So you would tell yourself the advice is like, hey, listen, it's a little bit of a stretch for you right now at 21.
But I can
right?
do that. I can do about $25 a week. I can do that.
You could do that. That's all that is 25
That's
a week.
That's all it is.
I mean, we all screw off 25 a week. So, but it was a mindset about doing it. So that's great advice.
Well, at 65, you're looking at what, $1.7 million?
Right.
Yeah. And if you start it. At 25, it's $1.7 million. You start at 35, you cut yourself out $750,000. Start early.
Start early.
As early as you can.
That's why time is our most valuable asset, right?
Yeah, and our enemy.
Oh, wow. Well, shoot, Dave. That was awesome. I think some really good feedback here is, look, Dave and I are regular folks growing up here in Vegas, and we all, I think, around the world have the same thoughts. I have friends that live in Europe and stuff, and we're all the same. It doesn't matter where you're at on this planet. So thanks for coming out, sharing your story, helping the people. I know that people out there are parallel stories. You know they're out there.
Yeah.
So save that $100 a month, guys.
Save
that $100 a month. And if you got kids, sit down. Talk to them.
Absolutely.
Because what you'll do is save time. You're going to save them time. Don't wait till they're 30 to figure it out.
You're helping them.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, listen, thanks for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
If you believe we gave value and insight to all the people out there, please subscribe to my podcast. And this will also be on YouTube. So subscribe to my YouTube channel and also smash the like button when you watch it. So these get released every Wednesday at 7 a.m. So we'll hear Dave's in a few weeks. All right, guys. Take care. We'll see you on the next one. Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Really enjoyed making all these episodes for you. Remember, we're just having conversations with people's journey with money and the things they did right with it, the things that did wrong with it, and how did they really come about getting their mindset with money. So every episode's different. We all have a good takeaway from them. So do me a favor. Hit the like button, smash the like button, and subscribe to my channel, because every episode that I do is going to be different, as all our journeys are different. So you guys take care, and we'll talk to you next week.